Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and love from the Lord Jesus. Amen. The text is from Romans, the 6th chapter. Hear the following words. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. That's the text. That's the good news for today, my dear brother and sister. We are used to thinking of life as a walk beginning at birth and ending at the grave. In Christ, this normal course of events is reversed. 180. It begins at death and goes into life and eternal life as such. That's the gift of the newborn king. He does not think of life as beginning in some birthing room of a medical clinic, but it begins at the font of baptism in a Christian church. That's where life begins. We are born dead and enemies of God, completely imprisoned by sin, the original sin, which is good enough to condemn us. But through baptism, we are transformed. We are relieved of the sin. The sin is taken off. We are released from this prison. We are now set free. Now we are children of God, and God is our Father. This text here tells us to go back to the beginning of life. This is how Moses wrote it in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the abyss, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." Fast forward 3,500 years later to John 1. The Apostle John wrote, "In the beginning," same words, "in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." The light that came back into the world. When God said, "Let there be light," it is as if he had turned on a light. And in Bethlehem, God's finger goes back to the switch and turns it back on again. And this big star shines over the stable in Bethlehem, announcing that the king was born. Beautiful stuff, isn't it? We go back to the beginning when we are dead and we see the light go on and the life come to life. Luther said that what happens at baptism is serious business. A little heathen is brought by the parents, and the little heathen is transformed into a believer, into a child of God. Luther said what happens there is really a rebirth. We are reborn, not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. He goes farther and says that the spirit is more important than the flesh. He calls it a regeneration. Re is Latin for again, as in reborn. Regeneration, gene, is womb in Greek. So rewombing. At baptism, we are rewombed. What happens in the womb? We are put together, all the little genes all in place, the chromosomes, etc. And then we are born. But we are born with the original sin, not good enough for God. So he buries us with Christ. We die in baptism, and we are made alive in Christ. That was our first meeting with Christ. Our first encounter was quite dramatic. And that's how it always is. The first encounter with Christ is dramatic. Peter and Andrew are there, mending their nets, minding their own business, when Jesus comes and says, "Follow me." Life-changing experience. Those words cause them now to become fishers of men and not fishers of little fish. The first encounter with Christ is incredible. The same effect is still seen today. Peter and Andrew became fishers of men. There was a paralytic man who encountered Christ. He had never seen him, but he had heard of him, and he convinced four friends of his, "If you can only bring me close to him, I know that he can heal me." And so the friends tried. But there was a crowd around the house where Christ was preaching, and their engineering minds took him to the roof, and they knew exactly what tile to remove, and then lowered him right in front of Jesus' feet. And Jesus said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And people laughed at Jesus. Who can forgive sins but God? And I mean, anybody can say your sins are forgiven without any effect. Jesus said, "No, I'm serious. I am God. That you may know that the Son of Man has come. Watch this. Son, pick up. Get up, pick up your mattress, and go home." And the man, whom we believe was middle-aged, 40 or so, took up his mattress and walked home. Well, it took a while for them to pick up their chins off their knees. They had dropped that much. He is God. The dramatic effect of a first encounter with Christ. Then there was this lady that was caught in sin, committing adultery. And according to the law of Moses, those that caught her and dragged her to Jesus said, "She must be stoned to death." Well, Jesus said, "Okay, let's just get organized here. Do everything in order and decency. Let's organize a line. And the one among you that never sinned, let him be the first one to throw the first stone." And so Jesus proceeded by writing something in the sand with his finger. And when he looked up, the only one there was the lady. And Jesus said, "Where are your accusers?" And the lady said, "They left, sir." And what did Jesus say? "Go and sin no more." She was a new person. She had been forgiven, and she had been hit by the light of Christ. The light of Christ in our lives ties us to God. It brings us into the presence of God. And here we stand, sin and all, yet forgiven and declared righteous by him who issues this light that exposes everything that's nasty. The effect of holy baptism is the same. It takes a person that has nothing going for themselves and transforms them into children of God. People that walk through this life without fear, without anxiety, without worry. I talked to a person the other day who is about to retire, and they said, I'm really worried. You know, you see all these ads on TV, how much you should have for retirement, and I'm not near that, Pastor. So we went back to the beginning. Who created you? Who determines the length of your days? Who said through his son, do not worry about what you shall eat or drink or what you shall dress? Do not worry about your food or shelter. That's my purview, says the Lord. Oh, people love to have control of things. Oh, yep, I got it all planned out from A to Z. If plan one fails, we go to plan B. If plan B fails, we go to C. And so you see, fail-proof. Senseless thinking. Useless thoughts. Wasted time in worrying about anything but today. Today is yours to live, not tomorrow. Leave tomorrow up in the hands of Him who is eternal and who knows a thing or two about time. It is absolutely silly for a Christian to be nervous about the future. If Christ took care of the past, our sins, and takes care of the present, what makes you think that He might not take care of you in the future? The first encounter of Christ with the widow's son in Nain was dramatic. It happened right at the city gate. They were in a funeral procession carrying the young man to bury him outside the city gates in the desert where it's cold at night and incredibly hot at day, where jackals and scorpions and snakes live. Christ halted the procession, touched the casket, and said, young man, get up. And the young man got up. I talked to my dead father and mother and brother. Nothing happens. They remain cozily laying in the sleep of death, resting until the day of the resurrection. I see people mumbling things and talking to their dead in the cemeteries that we visit. Nothing happens. Makes them feel better inside, perhaps, but there too is no evidence of any action. But when Christ meets a person, things happen. Young man, get up. There was another incident in which a good-hearted man called Jairus was in Jesus' presence. And those around him said, he is a good guy. He actually built a synagogue for us. Help him. And while they were still talking, someone came from Jairus' house and said to the man, Jairus, stop bothering the master. Your daughter has passed away. He had this little daughter that he wanted Jesus to touch and make well again. And you can just imagine the news and the effect of the news in a father whose daughter just passed away. Shaking and crying and tears streaming down his cheeks. And what does Jesus say? Do not be afraid. Only believe. And it's no stretch of the imagination to think and imagine Jesus' arm reaching around the man's shoulder and giving him a squeeze. Do not be afraid. Only believe. It's applicable for situations that are extreme, like the death of a loved one, or lesser situations like economic or broken relationships or difficulties in life, dealing with illness. It is a little intimidating, I confess, to know that Christ continues to promote first encounters throughout the world through word and sacrament. The intimidation comes knowing that that happens through our work and through our witness. We, by spreading the word of God throughout the world, continue to promote and cause first encounters of Christ with His children. Beautiful things happen. It is still close to New Year's Eve, and we remember all those New Year's Eve resolutions that we made. I share mine with you. Mine is never to make a New Year's resolution again. But a good New Year's resolution would be for us Christians to decide that in 2018, we will share Christ with the world, His word and sacrament, to the best of our ability like never before. Because Christ Himself said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have taught you. And lo, I will be with you always to the very end of the age." Such a resolution to fulfill this commandment would stand a far better chance of actually meeting its goal, because it's backed up by the Lord of life. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.